Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Kaylee Aldrich, and this podcast is designed to help you achieve a healthy mind, body, and spirit. I am so excited to announce that we're pivoting this season to focus on highlighting local businesses and service providers in our community right here in Highland, Illinois. My goal is to bring awareness to all these incredible individuals who contribute to our community's growth and well-being. And I truly believe that by supporting local businesses, we can have stronger friendships, stronger relationships, and truly have just a more vibrant community. So join us as we dive into stories of all these local business owners and service providers, learn about their challenges, their successes, and the impact that they have on our community. So together, we can make a difference and promote balanced wellness for everyone. Let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have guest Amanda on here, and Amanda is with the Narrow Road Family Farm, and I am so excited to have you here and just excited for you to share with us all about your farm and all about what you guys get to do and how you can serve and be a part of our community. So Amanda, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Before we dive into our conversation for today, why don't you let us know a little bit about you, maybe where you're located, and maybe a little bit of back history, if you want, about the farm, anything that you want to share, fill us in and let us get to meet you here for a quick minute.
Okay. My name is Amanda Gress. My husband and I live right outside of Alhambra, Illinois. And he grew up as a Highlander. I am not a native to this area. I'm a transplant. And so I've been here for a long time. We used to live in town in Highland, and as we were growing up, getting married, having babies, we were living on a pretty small lot, did kind of our normal suburban life thing there, but my husband had always had a desire to move out to the country, and I was on board with that. I was raised in a city or a small suburb area as well in Belleville, so like not too far away. But certainly not a rural life. And so he had wanted to move out. And as we were having kids, it was kind of one of those things that we lived on like a postage stamp kind of lot. And it was just apparent that we wanted more space. Like we just wanted some space for our kids to roam. And so the farm itself was not actually anything part of our plans initially when we moved out, other than wanting to be out. I think kind of the farm lifestyle, or at least maybe the natural lifestyle, came as also I was having babies. I would consider myself a crunchy mama. I'm using air quotes for those of you on the podcast. you know, when I had my baby shower for my daughter, Olive, I got a book from my aunt that was called Super Healthy Baby Foods. And that was kind of like the gateway into the crunchy lifestyle. And we gardened on our lot. We had some neighbors that had an empty space, and we gardened heavily with them pre-babies and post. And that was really the start of like being able to be in control of the food that we eat. At the time, we were younger in our professional lives. I had moved from a nursing career that was a short stint into a non-nursing career, and I was working part-time, and so our income was pretty like, you know, average. It wasn't high. We could not afford organic foods, and as I was reading all of these things about the problems per se with our food system and thinking about feeding that to my kid, it was like, you know, no. And so I got really on board with making my own baby food from the food that we ate, trying to be as conscientious about the choices we made and what we put into our bodies and what we put on our bodies and that kind of thing, like how our life was created, I'll say. After I had my son, we started looking for property shortly thereafter. And we spent a couple of years just sort of like dreaming and looking for the right space. You know, we knew that we wanted more than 10 acres. We would have settled for 5, but we were hoping for more than 10. We wanted some outbuildings. We wanted to be able to renovate a space. We weren't necessarily looking to build new. And so we looked and looked and looked, and we found a property outside of Alhambra that had like a 100-year-old farmhouse on it that hadn't been lived in for a while. And it was part of a plot of land that was owned by someone who was commercial farming, and they really didn't want to sell much of the land. So we spent about 2 years in what I would consider friendly negotiations with them, just trying to make friends with them and trying to convince them that they wanted to sell us some land, more than what they had listed. And they did. We eventually purchased our house and 17 acres. And then a little bit later, we purchased another 17 acres from them. We spent a couple of years in the process of renovating our farmhouse. My husband, his name is David. He is incredible in terms of like his skill set with being able to do things and being able to take something that we dream up and making it happen. The problem with that is that when you do a lot of things on your own, it takes a really long time. But that was the way we were able to really make our dream come true. We spent a lot of time dreaming about how we wanted our house and our lifestyle to be out here. And then it took a while for it to come to be because we had to build that, you know, like we didn't have the funding to do all of that by sourcing it out. So, you know, that time period in our life was stressful because we lived two separate lives. Myself and the kids were living in town still in Highland. And while he lived with us, he worked 40 hours a week and then would come to the farm directly after and probably put in another, you know, 40 hours between weeknights and weekends of just really making it happen. And so we did that for about a year and a half, and it was very, very hard. So, you know, there's still some baseboards missing somewhere. My vent hood isn't done. There's a lot of little tiny things that weren't finished, but we got it finished and we moved in here in May of 2019. So we've been here for just under a few years, or just about 5 years almost. And I'm looking out because that's where I can see outside. And so sometimes that helps me sort of repicture things. There, the land was farmland. You know, there's like a small plot of woods behind our house. There's some outbuildings, but it's flat farmland of what you find in this area in southern Illinois. And we got on this like weird kick. You know, I was a farmer's market goer. And as we were transitioning from our old place where we gardened and moving to gardening here, I got onto this crazy kick about like, how far can we go? How far can we extend our growing? And we found the farmer online. His name is Elliot Coleman. He's like the father of winter gardening. And it's with the use of season extending practices. So primarily that's an unheated hoop house or high tunnel. And so the goal is like, how do I grow as much as possible without having to put extra inputs in? Because I don't really want to pay for heat to grow tomatoes in the wintertime. What we do is we reshape what we eat during different times of the year, and you eat more seasonally. And we live in a moderate enough climate that with a little bit of protection, you can really make your season last longer. And so we trialed that just like in our home garden with some small hoops and things like that. And as we saw success, we had more and more friends going like, oh, do you have any extra of that? If you have any extra lettuce, I'd love to buy some lettuce. If you have any extra spinach, I'd love to take that. Like, oh my gosh, these carrots are amazing. I'd love to have some of those if you've got any extra. And as someone who went to the farmer's market like religiously, I went each weekend during the normal season. They offer a winter market in Edwardsville in the wintertime. It's once a month. But, you know, as I was being more aware of the food choices that were available, there's nothing green. There's nothing fresh. It's all either frozen meats, which is wonderful that we have such phenomenal meat options nearby, or like root vegetables. And I love potatoes and I love squash, but like that only goes so far. And so as we were kind of pulling all these pieces together, that was the direction that as we were building more infrastructure on the farm itself, that's the direction we wanted to go. So currently we have two high tunnels. These are unheated greenhouses, essentially. One of them is 16 by 100 foot, so 1600 square feet. The other one is about 30 by 100 foot, so another 3000 square feet. So we have 12 rows between them, 100 foot long rows, 30 inches wide. And that is where we do our primary growing for the winter season. One of the tunnels we just decided, it was probably like, oh gosh, it was right when COVID started. Ish. We were in a farm business class. So as we were kind of looking down this path of moving from just hobby gardeners to doing more and focusing on production and how do we fill a gap? How do we serve in a time when like there's nothing? We really wanted to take that seriously and be smart about it because farming is very hard. We are first generation farmers, so we have no real equipment. Everything that we wanted to put in here was something that we had to invest into. We don't have a ton of experience. You know, we did not grow up on farms. We did not grow up doing this other than planting some tomatoes in the summertime and kind of living that way. So we wanted to be very careful because I had read quite a bit of stories of farms where their marriages were completely disrupted by this thing that came in. And I would guess that that's probably pretty relevant in a lot of businesses where business can completely like ruin your marriage. And we did not want that to happen. So we try to be very mindful in the process of how we set things up. So we were taking a farm business class in 2020 and just really trying to like learn not only the front side, the skill set of farming, but also the backside, like the planning, the record keeping, the insurance, the setup, you know, the business part of what it means to be successful as a small farmer. So I think that that's probably enough of a general overview. Sorry, I'm a chatty Kathy.
Oh, so. I love all this. I love hearing the story. So it's just fascinating to me though, that this wasn't really on your agenda. I mean, like you said, you're first generation farmer. So this wasn't, so is your husband. So this wasn't like, this was a dream of yours for, since you were a kid, you know, it's not like it was anything that was, it maybe even your husband's too. It was just something that grew just as you guys grew your family that you're just like, oh, wait a second. Like we can do this, right?
Yeah. So you're from around here, and perhaps a lot of the other folks who listen to this are as well. You know, on Old 50, there was a farm. If you were driving on Old 50 and heading towards Lebanon, and they used to have a buffalo farm. So I'm talking about probably like 10, 15 years ago on the right hand side as you're headed towards Lebanon. So I wish I had it up here. It would have been smart to have it up here. But for many, many years, I worked over in the Shiloh, Lebanon area. And I took that way to work because we lived in Highland, and my husband and I met at work. And so that's like, we would ride together, that we would commute to and fro together. And all the time it would just be like, you look over at this farm and see all these buffalo or bison or whatever they were. I always called them buffalo. And you see this buffalo farm. And in my head, I'm like, it looks so majestic out there. Like it just looked so beautiful. It was aesthetically pleasing. And there's a lot of really beautiful stuff and hard work that exists on a farm. But it was like this picturesque, like, I want that, right? Like, I didn't know that I wanted to sell anything. I just wanted that kind of like, look how beautiful, like how amazing would it be for you to wake up and see that in your yard? And so it was probably like 2007. I have a doodle of like a buffalo, right? And he's in a field and he's got a little sunset behind him and there's little birds on right by his feet. And I titled it The Dream. And I had that and I drew it all out. It's been on our refrigerator, you know, for the last like 15 years. And that is exactly it. Like, that's the dream, right? So like, there was something that drew us to it, but by no means was it because we grew up knowing what that lifestyle was like.
Right. Oh, that's so cool. I was just telling somebody the other day, so when I was in massage therapy school, part of what we had to do was create a business plan, right? It like was one of our classes that we had to do. And my whole business plan, it is so funny. It is the business that I'm leading now, but I wish that I could still find that business plan because it's so funny because never did I think when I was in massage therapy school 13, 14 years ago, writing up that business plan, like it was just a project, an assignment that I had to do, you know, never did I think though, that that is where like life would, you know, twist and turn and take me to that actual business plan that I had created so many years ago. And yes, of course, like in my back pocket throughout the years, I'm like, oh gosh, that would be so cool. Like, oh, I remember that business plan that I had, like, oh, maybe one day I'll have that. Or maybe one day I'll do that. Right. So life is so funny, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Oh gosh.
Years in the past, like how it comes to be. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, at your retreat, we talked about manifestation. And so like, I came home from that with my vision board halfway done. My husband, so he is the opposite of like understanding manifestation, right? Like he thinks it's hippy dippy, doesn't get it. And that's totally fine. We do it in our own ways. We, you know, and I explained to him what it is. And at the time it was one of those, that's like, when I describe manifestation to people, I almost feel like a little bit of a kook, a little bit of a quack in a certain way. But then when I talk with you about things like what I just said, like that's exactly that. It's a way of just putting on paper, whether it's through writing or drawing or little doodles and just diagrams or however it is, your business plan. Like there is power in writing down the things that you are seeking out, the thoughts that you have and the desires, your wishes of your heart and all of that, like there's power in that. And I love being able to find snippets of that and go like, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, look how it happened. So I hope that someday your plan materializes and you're like, yes.
No, absolutely. Me too. And I mean, totally. I believe that 100%. I mean, obviously that's why I teach it, but it is so true. It's like, but it's so funny too, because I feel like so many business owners, you'll talk to them and they'll be like, oh, you know, I remember this one time there was such and such that fell into my lap. And I always thought like, oh yeah, maybe one day. And it's just like, you know, it's just so funny how whatever faith you believe in, you know, higher power. But it's just so funny how sometimes those things are just, those carrots are dangled in front of us, or those little just nuggets of pieces of what our life might be at, or just like put into our lives in times that we don't expect it. We don't understand what it means at the time, but we remember it, and we remember it for a reason, right? And then later it's just like, oh my gosh, I remember that one time I was sitting there and this thing came on my desk, and it's like, that's bizarre. And then now here I am with that thing on my desk all the time, and that's like the business I run or whatever. You know, it's just so funny how alignment and little just things happen in our life that that really do become part of our reality
For sure.
later on. We just don't realize it. Well, I know the name of your farm, the Narrow Road Family Farm. I know there's a story behind that, so I would love for you to really quickly share the story, and then I would love to learn and to have you share with our listeners here like more about your farm. You know, where you guys, if you guys sell things, where you guys sell them at, or how we can get a hold of anything that you guys have there on the farm. So, but first, I would love for you to share the story, because when you shared it with me, I was like, that is so cool.
So the name of it actually comes from scripture. It's Matthew 7:14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And so, you know, in that time frame, I was talking earlier about how we were remodeling our house. And in that time frame of living very separately for a dream that we both wanted, like very, very much so, you know, we're balancing that tension of what hard is, because in the day to day, it is very hard to be separated from your spouse. So often it was very hard for him to do all of the physical work over here, and he was working double time. And it was very hard for me because I was working and had two kids at home that were little. You know, my kids were little at that time. And so purposefully putting yourself in a position of really hard things is often a difficult choice. And I remember very clearly. So for like background reference, like I was not raised in a religious home. I wasn't raised in like necessarily a home that had a lot of like higher power emphasis. I am a late bloomer in terms of what that looks like. And so my church life, my religious background in terms of like knowing scripture is very limited. And so as an adult, the last few years, I've been intentional about cultivating that part of my life. And in the process, we belong to a church in Highland. And as we were working on our house, I remember it was probably like, I'd guess, December or January. I have a picture of it because I take a lot of pictures because that helps me with my memories, right? Like I love to capture pieces of my life and just be able to document that. And I have a picture very clearly. It was super snowy out, it was bitterly cold. I was at the farmhouse and we were like in progress. And it's just a picture of like the sun kind of casting on the house. You know, the outside of it was done, but the inside was still very much in work. And I had been at church that morning, and it was a sermon just essentially about like that period of waiting, that period of being in progress, and about how we can sit in that and be frustrated, sit in that and be hopeful. We can sit in that and be wanting more and not understanding while we're still in a period of waiting. And I had come across as I was reading the Bible that verse in Matthew that was about that. And for me, it just resonated like there are a lot of things that we seek out, that I seek out, that are not necessarily like purposeful or good things. They're not necessarily the parts of my life that I really should be or want to be cultivating when I think about it intentionally. And there are things that are hard to do and hard to give up and hard to seek out. And like I've done a lot of writing about the narrow road. Like, what do I believe to that to be in scripture, right? Like that's the seeking of Jesus. like the following of his teaching is how I read that to be. And in my own life, aside from that part, like actively seeking Jesus, it is also like the active pursuit of life. There's a lot of things in life that I could go and buy and just consume. But like for me, the process of being on in living the narrow road is very much about like purposefully in pursuit. purposefully experiencing, having a hand in the way that my life is crafted. And that's where the farm came to be, is like, we're not looking to serve the entire Madison County area. We can't, we won't, you know? I guess we could if we went that direction. That's not the desire of our hearts, is to serve in that way. And so it's the active seeking of like, what is it that we're trying to do here? And even when it's hard to renovate the house that we live in with our own hands, like working through that hard. Even when it's hard to get baby chickens and raise them to the point of being able to process them, and then taking that and doing something with that, like that can be hard. There is something to be found in hard, active work. And like, that's the life that we're crafting here.
Love that. That's so cool. So beautifully put. I mean, I'm obviously, you've put so much time and effort and thought into the whole game plan, right? I want to talk more about what you guys do, but where do you feel like your vision is going with the farm? Like, do you have, I don't know if you ever do this, but do you sit and think of like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, or do you have a vision of like, okay, well, you know, before the kids get to be this age, I would love to have X, Y, and Z on the farm, or I would love for our farm to look like this. Do you guys have that thought too?
Yeah. So I mentioned to you before we started recording, I went through like a pretty major job change. I had been in a place where I'd been working for 13 years and I had a super flex schedule and it was awesome, but I was having a lot of internal conflict because I was just not happy, you know? And it's hard that like happiness is the quantifying thing, because that can be fulfilled by a lot of things, but I could just tell at that point in time, like, I'm done here. And I was no longer excited about the professional work that I was doing. And even though it gave me a lot of space for my business, I was just constantly felt in struggle. And so at the very beginning of 2023, I switched jobs and it was a huge change for us. And so that has played a lot into how life on the farm is right now. I'll start with like our bread and butter currently is that we offer a CSA. A CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And essentially what this is that a farm of some kind says, hey, we are going to offer shares to our farm and we have X number of shares. And so people buy in at the beginning of the season. A lot of times for small farms, the reason they buy in is it kind of is like what I would call a cost share. When the money comes in up front, I have the money to go buy the seeds or the soil amendments or whatever it is that we need. And we don't have to worry about the money coming in. For our farm, while that's beneficial, it streamlines a lot of things for me. As a business owner, perhaps you can relate in the sense of like, you wear many, many hats, right? So I am not only the person planting the seeds, and my husband and I are not only the people out there doing doing the planting, doing the harvesting, packing everything up, but we're also the marketing team. We're also the sales team. We're also the ones who are tracking all of our finances in terms of money coming in and expenses going out. And all of that behind the scenes work takes so much energy. And in any way that I can remove some of that energy requirement early on or outside of the actual physical work season is a benefit to me, because it lessens my load. And so the CSA offers that to me. It offers me consistency. If I say I've got 14 shares of vegetables that I'll be selling, then I know I have 14 people that every single week for that season I'm harvesting for. I know exactly where the food is going. I don't have to market it. I don't have to respond to messages. I don't have to end up with more product than what I can sell. And in our case, our food is not shelf stable, right? Like, this is not a preserved product. It's fresh vegetables. And so while it will last for a little bit of time, and we do donate to the food pantry, there's a little more control, right? There's a little more ability to anticipate what's happening rather than experiencing what's happening in the course of doing all this physical work. And for the season of life we're in right now, that's really important, because we both have full-time jobs. We are married. We want to have a healthy marriage. And we have 2 kids, you know? And so like, we have other things going on outside of the farm work. And so anything I can do to create some kind of consistency is important. And the CSA offers that. So how it's been structured, we've had 2 winter CSA shares so far. 2024 will be our third CSA season. What we do is we open it up usually in like August, we post on Facebook. You know, social media is a great tool for us for getting information out there. And we open our shares up. And essentially what that means is we've offered a CSA option that has a vegetable kind of like backbone to it. We are vegetable farmers. Like that's what we're here for. And so while we also have eggs on the farm and we raise pork for meat, and there are plans to do other things like beef, and we have honey, and I'd love to have some dairy cows. You know, there's things that I'd love to add, but like the bread and butter of our CSA will always be vegetables, because that's, I love to grow food. And so we have a vegetable CSA. This past year, it was a every other week option. And so every other week for a total of 10 weeks, people received a share of vegetables. Now it was like, this is confusing. The season itself lasted 10 weeks. People got it every other week. So you got 5 shares. And the value of that, the benefit of that, is a lot of folks around here perhaps aren't eating things like bok choy or tatsoi or arugula or rutabaga on a regular basis, right? So like our vegetables that we generally consume are perhaps fairly limited. And this is an opportunity for folks to like get a share of food and have a few ideas of how to prepare it in ways that are fairly easy and try something new, try something healthier, try something local. And it's a way for us to grow a lot of stuff that grows really well in that time frame. And so our CSA ran from the beginning of October until the beginning of December. Every year it'll be just a little bit different just based on the timing. And you know, because we're still young in existence, we're still figuring out what that looks like what works best. You know, my son's birthday is actually in like the beginning ish of December. And because 2 years ago, we ran our CSA through his birthday, and I found that to be a detractor. I was focused on the CSA, and I couldn't give my full attention to his birthday stuff because I was consumed with what we had to do for the CSA. This past year, I didn't do that. And I'm grateful for those learning opportunities because experience is a really wonderful teacher. But, you know, I suspect that over the next few years, we'll continue to see things evolve. So vegetables are the backbone. People can add on eggs to their share if they'd like. Because we raise pigs out on our property, we also have pork products of all different cuts. And the way it essentially is you sign up, you pay for it in advance, and then we brought you a share of vegetables every other week, plus the other products if you signed up. I have a YouTube channel that is purely just like me kind of naming the things that were in the share for that week. And so we are learning those different pieces of what technology does to enhance our CSA, because you can give people a bag of vegetables, but if you don't talk with them about how they can use it in ways that are like easy and practical for their lifestyle, the CSA is not going to be an advantage, you know? So the goal is like information as well, building community around food, that kind of thing.
Very cool. So you open it every August, and then people can decide how many shares they want. They can decide what they want. Like you said, if they add on the eggs, the pork, or if they just want vegetables. And do you deliver it to them, or do they come pick it up?
Yeah, this last year we did delivery, and it worked out pretty well because for us that allowed us the schedule of like, hey, we're going to deliver on Sundays between this time. And we knew exactly who we were delivering to every week. Mm-hmm. If we had more people in our share, I don't know that I could always, you know, those are the pieces that will change over time. But yes, we delivered this past year.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, yeah, flexibility. I mean, as long as you're learning from what you're doing, like, mm-hmm. right, like business evolves, right? Like your business yeah. won't be the same now as it is 10 years from now, just like McDonald's wasn't the same now as it was however many years ago that it opened.
That's right.
You grow, you change, you evolve to support your customers and to support what makes sense. So I think that's really cool. And delivery, like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that was one of those things that was like, do people really want to, because we added a little bit to it for delivery charges, if we are going to be doing that time and gas and all that stuff. And there was like no question about it. Nobody balked about delivery. Nobody was like, I'd rather see the, you know, save the $5 or whatever and pick up. And it was like, sweet, leave it at my door.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, our culture in our society, we want convenience. Like we will pay the extra money mm-hmm. for convenience, right? Like
yep.
people
Yeah, absolutely. And so for us, the CSA is a not a new model in farming. There's CSAs all over the place, and there's risk that comes with it, right? Like in the sense of we could have a total crop failure. We could have something happen and the high tunnel could blow over or whatever. And so there's a risk inherently in some of it. We started out in farmers markets, and because of the season we're in, and even 2 or 3 years ago we were in, it was very, very difficult for us. Even when I had a more flexible professional work schedule, it was difficult to do all that preparation and then to spend our Saturday mornings, for many, many hours at a farmer's market. It was wonderful to see people. It's a cool environment to be in. It also did not feel like the best use of our time. And so where we're at with some of those things, like I want to be contributing to our community. I want to be a source of really good food for people around here. And I don't want to miss my kids' lives in the process. I don't want to have to ask, like, okay, who's going to soccer today? Because somebody's got to be at the farmer's market stand. I want to be able to have both fit within our lives, and adjusting our business model is allowing for those things. So, I suspect that will continue, as you say.
Yeah, so smart. So is there a way that purchasing wise, do people, are they allowed to come to the farm to purchase, or do you just purchase through the CSA or through, well, maybe not farmers markets, but but how can people get a hold of the product and purchase from you guys?
Sure. So, primarily right now, Facebook is a really great place that anytime I post, honestly, I actually love Instagram, not Facebook. And I just make all my stuff from Instagram funnel through into Facebook to keep it easy. But we see the most people, seeking things out from Facebook. It seems like a very easy place for that. And so as we have things available, I will post like essentially before we go out and harvest. So usually it's been on like Thursdays or Fridays, put a picture up, put a little description of here's what we have going on. And people just kind of message back. It's pretty low key in that regard. And it's obviously very seasonal. Right now we've had a extended break because when our CSA ended, it was essentially Christmas. It's my son's birthday and then Christmas. And then I had a trip plan and all this stuff. And so we had a very intentional break. We'll see what comes in terms of this early spring. Like you asked earlier about a 5-year plan, man, yes, there is a 5-year plan. And within a couple of years of moving through infrastructure changes and lifestyle changes with our kids growing a little bit bigger, my end goal is that I'm on the farm full time, and that I can create more opportunity for us to grow in that way. Because in the confines of what our schedule is right now, I'm not willing to give up in any other space. And last year was a huge learning year for us when I had my new work schedule and when I had all of the changes that came with that and my kids' structure with their schedules and things. I felt like I was giving up a lot. And while I would love to be able to offer food year round to people, I'd love to grow as much as possible. And there's a huge opportunity to grow right now. Like there's still no fresh food. I don't know if you know this, but in like January through March in the farming world, it's called like the hunger gap. Those are the hunger months because a lot of times by now people have used up their root vegetables. They're, going through a lot of the stuff that they've canned if they do that kind of thing. And there's nothing fresh available still. And we just hit our 10-hour day. So like solstice happened in December. We're back to 10 hours of daylight. I don't know if you felt a little bit taller, effective a week and a half ago. Like 10 hours of day has come back and plants need at least that much daylight to grow. And so right now I could be sowing things and getting stuff moving and really ramping up for like March, April, May harvest. But I learned a very hard lesson last year that I was exhausted and my family didn't get the best of me in some of those ways. And so this year, I don't think we're going to go as big as what we did because right now my schedule says I need to stay hemmed in a little bit. I need to be within the confines of what I can do. I need to do small really, really well. And as I do small really well in a couple of areas and things lessen up in other areas, then start building back in because we went like all in, we were all in at first, and then dialed back. Those are hard lessons. I don't know if all that makes sense, but I hope it
Yeah.
does.
Oh, it's so true. I always go by the philosophy, it's only a mistake if you don't learn from it, right?
Yeah.
But there's just, I mean, life lessons all the time, same thing. It's only a mistake if you don't learn. It's a lesson if you do. And that's so prominent, I feel like, in business too. Like, you can make, if you keep doing the same thing, it's like, oh my gosh, how dumb. Oh my gosh, how dumb. Oh my gosh, how dumb was that? It's like, okay, hello.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
somebody's trying to teach you something, you know, but if you're not conscious enough or aware enough to learn it, then it's just like you're making the same mistake that can cost you financially and time, which nobody wants to waste those two things over and over and over again. So I think it's very, you sound very wise in your decision making, and I think that's the key too, is just being a business owner in general. I don't mean this to be a business chat, but just going on a tangent here, it's like that's the biggest thing that I think we have to learn for ourselves, is just like knowing that it ebbs and flows and it can change, and being okay to be willing for the changes to happen and not think that it has to be so concrete and structured. And then also, I mean, we, as you know too, like, we have to give kudos to our customers to be understanding and flexible, to know that we don't have it all figured out, like that we, even though we've been in business for a long time, like, there's still going to be changes of, like, hello technology, hello a pandemic, right? That things different, that we have to refigure out things too. Just like I said earlier, major corporations, they're figuring out different things all the time too as well. But that, you know, and that's, I think, the cool thing and the blessing too, is like knowing that we are capable of that and we can do that. And knowing that it's going to change, and us being flexible and accommodating to that to have a better business, and not only us and our families, but our community and our clients as well. So you guys have a great thing going. I'm so excited. Yes, go ahead and add. I was going to add. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about and I think a huge piece of that is knowing priorities, right? Because I could justify putting my head down and just grinding, right? And I call it grind, and maybe I shouldn't, and my tone, my inflection might have a negative thing. There's nothing wrong with the grind if what you love is the grind, right? And for me, my priority is not the grind, not right now. My kids are going to be gone in 8 to 10 years, and I love my husband. It's going to be me and him, right? And so if what we want to do then is fill all of our waking hours with farm stuff, while I understand that that time is not guaranteed, I also am of the mindset that right now my priority is not grinding for what. I can't justify that in my head of the trade-off. And we talked about this a little bit earlier too. There's trade-off in every decision we make. And right now, when I think about what my priorities are, I am racking and stacking my priorities because I know that my time is finite in my day, in my week, in my year. And while I want to have the things in my 5-year plan come to be, I don't want to do it at the expense of my priorities. And so really knowing where those fall is key. And that can change within your business plan, within your personal plan as well. And I don't think it's a failure. And in terms of my husband and I had those really hard conversations this past year, because what I so appreciate about him is that he's so different from me, right? I'm a dreamer. I am lost in thought a lot of time, and I can be very, very productive, and I can also really appreciate the downtime. I'm incredibly sensitive to the emotional vibe, right? The nonverbal. I pick up and I feel. I'm a feeler of those things. And my husband is very serious. He's stoic, right? And so it's like, what are you thinking? Tell me what's going on in there. And he's like, no. I don't want to talk about it or whatever. But he could work, 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 work. And he doesn't, I almost joke, it's like sometimes you're like a robot. You can just he sees this is the end goal, and I'm gonna work until it's done. And I'm over here going, I'm dying. I'm struggling. This work is killing me. And sometimes we find that we're in conflict or at odds with that. And we've had to talk through a lot of that this past year, because that's where I found myself. I was yes, I can put my head down and I can do the work through it. But if I'm miserable in the process, I know something's wrong. And I will never, ever keep working towards this dream, this thing we love, if it's making me miserable. So knowing priorities, having the open conversation about it, sometimes those are hard. Sometimes those are conversations where, you know, we had to sit in some of those hard decisions, hard conversations sometimes where I had to be like, I can't do more. And in his mind, if we could just do a little bit more, we'd bring some more money in. You know what I mean? Like the farm would be more successful, and that's awesome. And for some people, having it be financially more successful is the goal, and that's okay. But for me, I'm looking for how it fits without detracting from other parts of my life. You know, like I want it to be part of, not consuming me, not consuming other pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably to have your kids, I would imagine, maybe not, but be involved in it too, to see the process, to see the whole, I mean, Renee and I were, whenever we were recording our podcast, we were talking about how so much of farming and homesteading and that whole thing is so lost. Like our generation just like knows very little about that. And it's just one of those things, like our kids are going to be just as maybe disconnected from that as even we are, or the generation above us, you know, or below them as well. And so just keeping our kids around that and keeping them understanding the process and what it takes and the hard work and the dedication. Not that other jobs aren't, but you know, so many people take for granted that, you know, our food comes on our table and it just is here, right? It's
right.
Like, well, there's a process, right?
Right.
And we are so busy, air quote, with our lives that sometimes we don't have the appreciation for the food and how it gets on our table, knowing that there's a lot of people out there busting their tail to make it happen.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And it's interesting because like, so in my head, one of our projects this year, this season, we have some perimeter fencing that we want to put up. And ideally it's because then we can get some cattle out here. And my husband's like, beef cattle. Yes. And yeah, I'm totally on board with that. But in my vision, and he knows this, he's well aware, is like, I'd love to have a dairy cow. And I mean like one, maybe two that I can hand milk, right? Like that's part of what I have going on. Because as I mentioned with like the narrow road piece of it, I'm not looking to mechanize all of the things on our farm. There are some things to be said about using technology and machines for efficiency. And also there are parts of this farm that I want to continue to do the hard work of with my own two hands, because I think there's a lot of like love that I can find from that. It keeps like, that keeps me fulfilled, right? It's not the end product. It's the process that's really just like filling me up and keeping me going. And so I want to get a dairy cow. And I have talked to a lot of people around here that are like natives to the area, grew up around here, and several of them have grown up on dairy farms. And every time I say that to them, they're like, you are nuts. You do not want dairy animals. You do not want to do that. It is awful and it's hard work and, you know, like et cetera, et cetera. And all I can think about is like, man, I want my kids to be part of the process. And I also don't want them to hate this place. Like that, like the farm is like mine and David's work, right? That's what I think of. Like, this is like our dream that we're seeing unfold. And my kids do have chores that are part of our life here, right? Like, unless it was the negative 15 degrees, they're outside in the rain and they're outside in the snow and they're outside in the beautiful sun and they're outside in the hot, hot sun with us doing chores. Cause we have chickens, we have like 150 chickens, you know? And so it's like collecting eggs, feeding, helping where they can on that side of things. Same thing with the pigs, same things with, you know, we've got ducks and stuff like that. And so they have their ways of being involved. They have their ways of helping with different things in like the garden area. And I'm really cautious about how much work I force on them, because all I can think is like, I just want you to love it here. Like, I just want you to remember this place fondly, because in a lot of sense, like the family farm has died in a lot of ways. And as somebody who, like, I didn't even grow up on a family farm, it breaks my heart a little bit, a lot of it, to see like land that had been in families for generations and sort of swallowed up now. And I get it, like modern agriculture is where it is. And I'm not talking to do like a systemic breakdown or anything like that. Like immediately there's change that could happen and it could be great. But I just think of like the love that comes from a family place is like, that's all I want for my kids. I just want them to love it here. I want them to like feel drawn to return this place. And I hope that they want it. And then I hope that they foster that with their own kids and then it passes down and that, you know, there's something here beyond our time here.
Oh, that's so cool. Leaving a legacy, like just for your kids, and how much, I just think it is cool. Like how much they'll learn from it, you know, and maybe they'll maybe not love it sometimes, but
yeah, for sure.
skills and things that they'll be able to take with them their whole entire life. That, I mean, how cool is that going to be? Like, again, they might not see it. They might not realize it maybe for 20 years, but they're going to know and remember things and have life lessons that they can apply their whole entire life. That it is so cool. And kudos to you for being able to teach them that and being willing to work with them and have the patience. Cause I know, and I'm sure that they're, I mean, I know a lot of farmers and that their kids are very much out there doing the thing and scratching the cow lots and things like that. You know, and I know that that happens, but you know, so I think so often too, these days that it would be very easy too, to tell the kids, oh, just stay inside. Cause I don't want to, it's easier if I just go do it, or you know, you just stay inside and play your PS5 or your video games, because you know, that's easier like for them. Mm-hmm. Air quotes. All the air quotes. But I know we live next to a dairy farm, and my husband always tells my son, he's like, that's going to be your job. Give it 5 more years because that's where you're working. But he thinks it's cool. He thinks it's fun. He wants to work there now. He's 7. I'm like, no. For so many reasons, but because they would jokingly tell you, the farmer and the sons, to go drive that tractor to Alhambra, and you would
bring
it, like you would have no problem. You would, because my son is just that way. Like, you know,
that's
like
so funny.
You told that to my daughter, she'd be like, "No way! I don't know how to drive it. I don't know where I'm going." Like my son, oh, he would hop in, he would just figure it out and crash along the way. No big deal. Kids are so different.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. But I love this conversation. I think what you guys are doing is so cool. And I just see your passion behind it. And I think it's really cool that part of your goal and your vision is, yes, of course, to profit, but it's just to enjoy it and to have the passion for it and to have just that it grounds you and it fulfills you and it fills your cup up. And of course the financial part of it, of course, is a great bonus, but it sounds to you that you're definitely putting your passion before that. And I don't think a lot of people do that. And I think that says a lot about you as a person and as character. And I just think that's really cool. So,
well, thank you.
You're welcome. You are so welcome. So can you drop in the show notes for us? Can you send me and have in the show notes, like I assume it's a Facebook page for the farm that you post on?
Yeah. Yep. Cool. I certainly will. And for ease of reference, everything is at the Narrow Road Family Farm, all spelled out all the way. It's a super long name. I get it. But Instagram and Facebook, that's where it's at, but I will certainly send that over.
Great. Cool. So yeah, you guys down below in the show notes, we can do the YouTube link, the Facebook link, and the Instagram, because I just love that. And this is my goal here with the podcast. I say it every single time, but my goal is just to build community, to build relationships, and to not only that, but to build awareness of what we have in our own backyard that we just don't realize is right in our backyard. I know when I was talking to Renee, she was dropping some names of places and I'm like, what? I've never even heard about that before. She's like, it's in Highland. I'm like, I grew up in Highland. Like, you know, like I should know about this and I don't. And I know you said you're an implant here, but I like was born and raised here and I don't even know about some things. And so my big goal for this year is just to grow community awareness of local people out there living their passion, living their dream and making it happen, and just ways that we can support them and understanding how we can support people just right here in our own community and not have to go to, not saying it's bad, but to Soulard's, the farmer's market, support people. Like that's amazing too. It's still supporting the people and the dream, but how we can just do it right here and not have to drive so far and to get to learn the stories and probably end up being, you know, going to school with the kids whose parents are that it's their farm or the grandparents, or knowing and having a connection of somebody that we know in a roundabout way, because the world's so small of how we, you know, somebody right here in our own backyard of what they're doing to produce amazing, really cool stuff for us. So I love that. I love
it. It's so funny. So like, and I don't know if this is how it popped up, but that plays into how I came across Renee. So like our daughters are in the same class together, and you know, I had her coded in my phone as her daughter's name, Mom, you know what I mean? Like, because that's how I get slips of paper home from my daughter, Olive. And it's like, hey, this is so-and-so's mom. Can you text her to see if we can like hang out or whatever? And so I always put it in with the kid's name at first so that I know who it's related to. And, you know, randomly she messaged me one day about an opportunity, which it didn't come to fruition at that time. And honestly, like, this is my reminder, like, you should follow up on that, because that would be a really cool thing. There are tons of people within our own community who are huge resources. And Renee, I honestly think, is one of them. She's got a connecting kind of personality as well. So I can't wait to listen to that episode of your podcast and hear what you guys talked about. But, you know, there's something to be said about knowing about the things that are in your own backyard. And there's a lot here. There's a lot of opportunity here for us to grow within our own community and to support each other through different things. Sometimes it takes a little bit of different kind of work, right? It's not Amazon. It's not shipping to your door in 2 days. It's not that quick and that easy. It may require something else of us, but like the way we support each other in business, in life, through our connections and relationships. Like, I wouldn't have found you if it wasn't for Renee. You know what I mean? Like, that was my connection to this. And I shouldn't say I wouldn't have, but maybe it wouldn't have happened this way. You know what I mean? And so like picking up on those little carrots, you talked about it earlier, like something falls into your lap, you know, and I had half a mind to not message you because I'm like, I don't know what's going to come of this podcast. I don't know that I'm really a business owner in the Highland area. I am, but you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those, like, I'm not a traditional business owner in that sense. And so to take those opportunities that come before us, like the things that unfold from that are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's so true. And I love, the older I get, the more I pay attention to those things, because it's like, yeah, you know, whenever you're younger, it's just like, oh, you don't think about it or you don't think it matters or whatever. But now it's like, I pay attention to so many connections, because it's so funny how, you know, even people that I see like on social media or something like that, or somebody that I meet at, you know, get together. And then it's like months later, it's like they're a client of mine, or they, you know, are come to a retreat, or they're like, their sister comes to retreat and they're like, you know her? I'm like, well, I just met her. I'm like, it happens all the time. Right. And it's just like, I pay more attention to it, because it's like, it's almost now, like whenever I meet somebody brand new, it's like, now it's almost, I laugh about it in my head. It's like, huh, wonder how I'm going to be connected with her in 6 months. Like, because it's going to happen. Like, it's just so fun to see now. It's like a game.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. Yeah.
Well, when she reached out the first time to me about, she was texting me about an opportunity with the high school, and it was like, this is a God wink, right? Like, this came to me as something that I needed to do. And so now anytime I have those, it's one of those like, all right, God wink, like something's happening. This seems perhaps weird out of nowhere, but let me do these things. Let me connect these two people to each other, or take up this opportunity, or whatever it may be. It ends up being something like, looking, when you start to look for God winks, they appear, you know, the things that you start to look for and pay attention to, you start to see them, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's just like taking time and slowing down to just notice it, you know, bizarre, like so fun. Well, let's wrap up our time here, but real quick, Amanda, anything that you want to, like, last minute thoughts, maybe something that we didn't cover yet that you want to make sure that we touch on, or anything that you want to share that maybe we didn't speak about yet?
You know, my goals this year, I, for what it's worth, I'll plug your kind of like, retreat that we went to. I think, paying healthy attention to the place that you're at is like the thing that helps keep me on track. And so this may seem dumb or silly, but like, I went through and read some of my writing. I follow a practice, like a journaling practice, that's called Built to Lead. And it's very intentional about like, creating your own guiding principles, your document, essentially, like your plan of how you move. And so Built to Lead is legitimately like a framework, right? And the purpose of it is that like, I am doing the work of knowing who I am, and I'm doing that work by doing a lot of journaling and discovery of self. And I find the people around me that are my few, the people I'm going to connect really deeply with. And I stay super in tune with those people. And it provides a space in which I can process, right? I can process like authentically of who I am, and also the things that I'm going through, and get maybe some additional way of finding perspective through that. But like, I've been doing this work for a couple of years, and there's an ebb and flow of even that, of like how heavily I'm into it, and then when I draw back. And the thing that I notice is that like, when I'm not paying attention to myself, when I'm not paying attention to my own voice and my own thoughts and beliefs, and I'm not looking at the things I say and do and evaluating whether that's in line with who I know I am as a person, I tend to fall off track. And so like, it may seem crazy that knowing yourself takes the amount of work that it really does, but it is also very, very active work of just constantly questioning or evaluating who you are and what you do and why you do it. And so like, having a purpose and knowing how you're going to move about and knowing what your beliefs are key. And I thought for a while, like I had reached, you know what I mean? Like, check, I know who I am and I know how I'm going to get there. And I have my few people that I'm talking to, and some of my habits, my intentional habits of like journaling and reflecting, kind of dropped off, and I felt lost. And so some of the discovery work that I've done in the last month or so, and as part of like the vision board for this next year, is just staying super in tune with who I am. Like, I want to be my loudest voice. I want to market to myself so much of like who I am that it is the slogan that I remember, you know. And it's not because I'm looking to sell something. It's just that like there is so much noise. There is so much going on in the world around me, and I can stray very easily. And that active work is what keeps me on my path, right? And so like whatever that looks like for you and for the folks who listen to this, like I hope that you feel compelled and drawn and okay to spend that time on yourself, and to also like really get that, like that's been the gift, right? Like that knowing of who I am, and then the constant work of being who I am is been the most freeing thing. So like my 30s have been great. I'm really looking forward to turning 40 and seeing this continue on. But I hope, you know, that other folks, if what they were thinking was like, man, I don't know how to check in with myself, or I don't know what that looks like, or I feel selfish for taking that time to find out those answers. I hope people feel compelled to do it. It's something in business, it's something in personal. It just is. So it's a gift, a huge gift.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I didn't know anything about that. The built to lead. I think that would be, I can share that resource with a lot of my clients because I do think that you, what you focus on grows, right? And out of sight, out of mind. Like I believe in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why I love a vision board. I love having, affirmations that I can, a desire list that I can call my attention to because I know that what I focus on grows. And so if I have a desire or an intention for the year, if I can continually focus on it, it's amazing. It happens, you know? And but I do believe in the self-discovery because I do feel like there are phases of life that people just all of a sudden they're like, they hit boredom or they hit like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, quote unquote, with my life. Or they, you know, hit that point where they're like, oh my gosh, they have an epiphany moment of some sort that they're like, I can't keep going like this. I was created for something different. I don't feel, I have an itch that I'm not here. You know, I have a bigger desire, but I don't know what it is. And I love a good journaling, exercise. And I do believe too, like it just, yeah. Having that time, that white space to put pen to paper and to get all your thoughts out and just to sit there and think, I think is crucial. And I don't know about you. You might have to join me one day, but I have a one day a month that I have a white space day and I'll go to Starbucks or I'll go to Michael's coffee shop here in Highland because I love that place too. But it is my day. And not that I, you know, it's funny because I'm really not a coffee drinker. I drink coffee like maybe 2 or 3 times a month, but I will go there because A, I can hang out there all day and I don't have to like buy a bunch of food.
It's free
But
space.
it's for space, yeah. But it's just like I have to get outside of my element and I have to get out of my home and I have to have that day a month to just think about a grander plan. Like I always call it like stimulate my crown chakra day because it's like, what can I do in that day to like think, be creative, and to get my mind going on new things and new ideas and things that we want to implement differently here at Balanced Wellness that maybe I haven't given myself the space or the time to sit and think about or to draw out a new plan for a new event or a new type of offer. And it gives me that time to do it. And I come up with like so many thoughts in that time. And I realized through all the things is that if I don't give myself time to do that, not that I stay stuck or bored or anything like that, because that's definitely not the case, but it's just, but I just, that's just my creative time. And then I come up with so many cool things. And then of course I have my amazing virtual assistant who I have to give her half the credit because I will give her the idea. And then she goes and finishes creating all the things and the flyer and the signup link and all the things for it. But it's, but it gives me that space to do that. But if I know, just going back to the built to lead, I'm sure just piggybacking off to just the idea of sitting and giving yourself that time to journal things out. If you feel like you need that space, it is crucial. And there is so much that comes from journaling. And I know it sounds maybe a little woo-woo or who has time to just sit and write down their thoughts, but it can be really life-changing, not only for yourself in now in the moment or but even in just in your future. It's like, oh wow, like I've always had that thought or how interesting whenever you do sit down and journal things out, because we are so, I feel like our mind is so distracted and full all the time that we, you know, like you said, that God's wink, that what you said earlier, but it's like, we have things that pop into our mind all the time, but then we never deal with it. But it's like, wow, if you're writing those thoughts down, it's like how often you can pay attention that you're writing the same thing over and over and over again, because it's coming to your mind, and then you can then make the conscious choice. It's like, okay, do I want to deal with this? Is this the thing I want to pursue? Or why does this keep coming up? It can give you that time and to sit and consciously process that. So I think that's really cool. Do you have a link for that, Built to Lead?
Yeah, builttolead.com is where it would be. So there's actually a group in St. Louis, and I would love to connect you with these folks, because I think that it could be a really cool opportunity for perhaps a workshop or something down the line. Mm-hmm. But the story of them is really cool. And the thing I'll say about it is, like, essentially your whiteboard day reminds me of, there's kind of a practice or a principle in Built to Lead that's about, like, the balance of dreaming and doing, right? And, like, I naturally fall on the side of dreamer. I am a big dreamer, and I could just spend forever doing that, just like sitting and thinking about all the things, all the potential that exists, and just talking about potential. And you can get stuck in a dream state. And so, like, without a practice of then implementing it, right, the doing part of it, like, you will never achieve if you don't actually do something about it. And the same to be said on the other side. If I'm just stuck in a do without ever really thinking about, like, what am I doing? And how does that connect with what I'm set out to do, with what my purpose is? Neither end of the continuum is, like, where you want to be. It's like that ebb and flow back and forth. And so I think that that's really important. And the thing for Built to Lead is, like, it's easy to look at Built to Lead in terms of tasks, and it's not about tasks. It's about me as a person, right? Like, who am I? What do I believe? How am I going to do those things? Like, my principles, what am I willing to do? And what am I not willing to do? What do I love? And ultimately, like, why does that matter? And so you are literally writing out belief statements about your worldview. You are literally writing out your passion statements, what you love. You're literally writing out what you will and won't do as you move about your life. I think of them as, like, boundary lines, right? Like, I'm willing to do this and I'm not willing to do that. And this is a document. And creating the document, the physical document, is one thing. And then living that and checking yourself against that, right? And that's the, like, am I who I say I am, or am I not? Does my belief line up with my behavior, or does it not? Which of those things need to change? And sometimes writing can be scary, because when I write down something about who I am, and then I have to look it in the face that that's not how I'm actually moving about in the world, like, wow, that's a truthful mirror that I'm holding up and bringing to my own awareness. There's a lot of power in that, right? And like, owning that. And there's a lot of freedom in that. Like, once I know who I am and why I'm here, I care a lot less about what other people have to think about me, you know? Yes. So builttolead.com, heavy plug for that. I'd be glad to introduce you to a couple folks. I think it would be cool. But yeah, journal, whatever that looks like, give yourself 10 minutes and just start.
Love it. Yeah, I love that so much. Thank you for this conversation. This was so beautiful. I love that conversations, we always have some sort of a loose topic, but the way that it goes, you just never know. And that is my favorite part. I love listening to podcasts that are also structured that way. I can't stand listening to podcasts where, you know, there's like 10 questions and they're just moving through the questions. Like,
yeah.
So thank you for being a flexible guest and an amazing person to interview. Like, you have just, I just love it, that I feel like we could do a lot more podcasts on several other topics, 'cause I feel like we're so the same. So this was good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been fun. This is my first podcast. So thank you for being so kind in the process.
Oh my gosh, you did amazing.
Thank you.
You did amazing. All right, cool. Well, Amanda, The Narrow Road Family Farm, we're going to drop all the links below. You guys go check it out. And I just can't wait to see. I don't think I am a part of your Facebook group. I know that I am on Instagram. I know I follow you there, but can't wait to see what's coming down the road for you guys. And good luck for all the things. I will say prayers for you guys as well, but so excited we're connected. And I know that this is just the beginning of, I'm sure, some really cool things and just a really great relationship. So thank you, Amanda, for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey there, real quick before you go, I would love for you to join me over in my private Facebook group called Balanced Wellness with Kaylee Aldridge. If you would love to just see a little bit more of my content, stay up to date with any events that I have going on, both online and in person, that is an amazing way to stay up to date. And plus just to get to know me a little bit better as well. So the link for that is down in the show notes, but it's Balanced Wellness with Kaylee Aldridge. One last thing too, I would love for you to rate, review, and share the podcast. We are in the top 5% of podcasts globally, but of course, I'm always looking to grow my audience and then also just spread the word a little bit more about what we love to talk about here on the podcast. So it's totally free. You can rate it, review it, and share it, and I would greatly appreciate it. So thank you again for tuning in, and I'll talk to you soon.